B-Pod Studios.
Here you lost your air quotes best defensive player and Jamie's favorite boy in Robert Covington. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but this defense hasn't gotten better as the year's gone on, and that's so concerning.
Yeah, and it's the same thing throughout every game this season.
And you can see it in the players, Mark and Trey. You guys see it, like there'll be one or two passes, and then all of a sudden a wide open guy, they're running out to try to get to a 3-point shot. Boom, it's made, and shoulders dip and heads go down. And it's like they're frustrated either with the scheme or with how they're playing it.
So is it a lack of energy on their part?
That's what Ben Simmons said.
Yeah, that's got to be part of it. Energy to me is fighting through a high pick and roll. You fight through it. Boom, you fight through it. You either shove a guy, you get yourself in a place where you're deterring the ball handler of where he wants to go, holding him up, holding the picker up, whatever it may be. It's got to be something.
Hmm. You talk about lack of energy. Ben Simmons yesterday talking about that lack of energy.
A lot of miscommunication on the pick and rolls. They got a lot of slips out of it, transition.
My bad. That was I queued up the wrong cut there. Actually, Ben Simmons, here he is talking about a lack of energy in the game.
I think just energy. I think lack of energy. It's one of those games where you know this team's not going to, obviously be in the playoffs, but, it's still a young team. They're still going to play hard. And much respect to them.
Ask for one of their big problems in the game? Mm-hmm. Lack of energy.
Yeah.
Now, we got a slew of reasons, excuses, explanations, whatever you want to call them for this game. They were summed up by Brett Brown, Tobias Harris, and Jimmy Butler in this game. And what Jimmy Butler had to say is by far the most damning thing any team with any amount of talent can ever say about themselves. And Jimmy Butler called out his team, and for this reason, and I thought it was a perfect reason. I hate hearing this from very talented players on very talented teams, and it's not the first time you're going to hear something like this, but it was finally time that somebody stepped up and said this, and I'm glad Jimmy Butler did. I'll let you hear that in a second. You are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic WP and Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. 6 o'clock hour is brought to you by Bay Management Group, your premier property management company specializing in multifamily and single family rental properties. Visit baymgmtgroup.com. Now, 7 o'clock hour brought to you by Univest Bank. Handle all your banking remotely with Univest Bank's mobile platform. Easy, convenient, secure. Live life. Stay connected with Univest Bank. So, Brett Brown takes to the press conference afterwards, right? They're on the road, so a little media scrum. Mm-hmm. Got a nice backdrop behind him. Mm-hmm. He's answering questions.
It's not a gangbang.
This was the scrum. Gangbangs are more for the locker room.
Okay.
So, yeah. Is that the difference?
I believe so.
Hmm. The gangbangs are behind the closed doors. The scrums are out in the hallways.
I'll go with that.
Okay.
Hmm.
Yeah, okay. I guess. Huh. And plus, I guess. Plus, everyone knows that the coach is going to be available.
Yeah.
The players, not so much. But so they all run up to it with their microphones.
So the gangbang is more for of a surprise thing.
The way you put that, yes.
It's like old school. Knock on the door. Yeah.
I'm here for the game. Somebody order the pizza?
Brett Brown's standing up there, and the reporters are
coming up to him.
Thank you. And the reporters are coming up to him, asking all sorts of questions. And one of the things that they got into with him today was just, hey, Brett, take us through the loss, more or less. And what were some of the issues this team was having?
Of both. The game at stages was bizarre to me, really. Some of the turnovers in the fourth period were head scratching, and I think some of the defensive lapses we had in the first half were head scratching. And then you put it into the melting pot of them playing good basketball, and they had some offensive firepower to sort of punish those areas that I just mentioned, and we couldn't overcome it in the end.
Bizarre.
Yeah.
That was the word that jumped out to me. Because that's what I told you earlier. I'm watching the game yesterday. I was watching it on DVR. My wife's on her Kindle. I'm watching the game, and she is looking at me, and I'm screaming at the TV, questioning everything I'm seeing, calling the Sixers every name in the book, can't believe what I'm watching. And she's like, are the Hawks really that good?
And I'm like, no, this team, they're just playing down to their
Your
opponent.
Your guys' wives talk funny.
They talk the same.
You
it's
and Jamie.
It's our generic
yeah,
white voice.
Celeste, they
yes.
talk funny.
When we're all hanging out Saturday, you'll know. Same voice.
All right.
So I'm trying to make sense of everything going on in this game, and it's just impossible. And Brett Brown calling it bizarre was like, yeah, it was very bizarre. Then Tobias Harris, this is one of the most damning things you could ever say about a team. When you talk about Ben Simmons saying lack of energy, well, Tobias Harris had a different word for it.
Just we're too lazy all night defensively. Lazy with our communication. Lazy with our coverages and second emphasis. I mean, we were stepped slow all game. Burst their pace. That's where it starts, and I think where it ends right there.
Lazy?
Mm-hmm.
These are getting worse as they go on.
Yeah, right.
To hear the lack of energy, to hear your coach only being able to summarize everything as bizarre, mm-hmm. and then hear another player say lazy, there's only one thing, one phrase that could be more damning than all them put together. I present to you Jimmy Butler.
I really don't know. I think it's the fact that we think that we're a really good team, so we just come in and do whatever we're going to do and think that we're still going to win. I don't think we can fall into that trap. I'm telling you, I think that's what it was. Thinking like, yo, we won however many in a row. That's from everybody, from top to bottom. I don't think that you can play like that in order to go where we want to go.
Show up and win. Show up and win. Mm-hmm. That's what he's saying right there. And every time you hear a player call a team out like that, saying, oh, we're not good enough to just show up and win, you hope they get the message. That's a veteran player saying that about some young guys that I don't think have it through their heads yet.
And you know what's more concerning? Yeah, and I'll add to that. You have no players on this team that have ever been in that position. Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons have never been in that position. Tobias Harris, J.J. Redick, Jimmy Butler. They've never been on teams where you just show up and win. They've never been on a San Antonio Spurs team or a great, you know, Cleveland Cavaliers or whatever team it may be. None of these guys has ever been on a team like that. So for them to show up, that's an attitude you got to get out of their minds real quick. And that's incumbent upon Brett Brown. You show up and play.
Trey, I'm going to relate this back to one of the greatest football seasons I ever watched. And that was your 2004-05 season, when the year you guys went to the Super Bowl.
Uh-huh.
T.O. comes here. You guys are just rattling off wins left and right. You go into Pittsburgh. You lose that game. I believe it was the first loss of the season. Go to 7-1. Bounce back the following week against the Cowboys. What is it like when you know you have a lot of talent on the team, but you know you can't just take it for granted with the mindset of, oh, we can just show up and win?
Uh-huh, because see, that's the problem. When you have success, then you kind of get in that little cruise control mode of just feeling like, all right, all we got to do is just, hey, we can get it done. Our talent would take over at some point, and that could be a problem, especially when if that energy isn't there. But my question also is, because you know you have certain cities that have become like problems for players to play in, like a New Orleans or a Miami.
Right,
is
right.
Atlanta one of those type cities?
I think Atlanta lends to it, not because of the outside distractions that you're speaking of, but it's the inside distraction. Like, it's a boring arena. Fans don't show up until really late. Like, I've been there, and the game has started, and there's like 5,000-6,000 people at the most. You know, it's just it adds to the low. So if you come in with not a heightened excitement of all right, let's go get it, mm-hmm. then yeah, it brings you down a little bit.
That's something that I'm sorry for the
no.
just because when you step into an arena and the energy is already down and you're down.
Yeah, your legs go, feels like you're walking in mayonnaise. You've been there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard. Like, I've been there watching games where Sixers go to play when they were bad, and the Hawks team were okay, and it was just like, it's like playing a pickup game, outdoors or something. It's horrible. But you know what? When the Sixers were that 10 and 18 and 19 win team, and I went into San Antonio every year with them, guess what? They didn't get their asses kicked strictly because of talent. It's because San Antonio came out every night and played the game. They played hard, and yeah, they were resting maybe a Timmy Duncan or a Tony Parker, whatever it may be. But they came out with a sense of urgency every night when I saw them play, and they played. And the Sixers don't have that right now. And that's part of the culture that Brett Brown's trying to build, and that has to get better.
Now, is that a lack of leadership coming from players that have already gone through that process of winning?
Yeah, like,
because you're trying to build it now.
Yeah. Who's your leaders? I mean, can Jimmy Butler come in here and just, boom, be like that, be your leader? I don't know.
I think he's trying to.
I think so, too. And from what I've heard talking to people, I think he definitely has. And I think a lot of the younger guys are now looking to him. You know, Joel Embiid opening tap the other night. I know it's a little thing, but he loses it, and he kind of just saunters, like, real slow back down the court. Like, it's the opening part of the game. You know, let's go. You got to get yourself in that. Sometimes it becomes habit, jogging and walking. You know, you have to get it in your head. You got to run. You got to do this. And look, I've talked to many, many coaches in the NBA and GM. They want that. That's what you try to teach. You can't take time off because you can't turn it on when you want to.
J.J. Redick.
That's it.
J.J. Redick has been to the playoffs every year
of his career.
And he's going to go again. It's incredible, right? I think 12, 13 years in the league now.
Yep.
12, 13 years in the league. Every single year he's been in the playoffs. He played in the finals with the Magic, did he not?
I believe he was on that team.
I'm pretty sure he was on that team.
Jameer Nelson was on that team, I believe.
That was the Dwight Howard elbowing Sam Dolenbear in the back of the head year, if you remember correctly. But I'm pretty sure JJ was on that squad as well. But he's been to the playoffs every single year. You think JJ can't come up and say something?
Yeah.
Like, I love Jimmy Butler being that honest with the media, saying that his team has fallen into that category. And you know what? When they were closing out last year without Joel Embiid and they still won, 15 in a row to end the season, 15, 16 in a row, I never felt like they had that mindset. They seemed like they played hard every single night. To see this type of game against the Hawks with, 8 or 9 games left in the season, you got to be kidding me. Yeah. That's not how you get ready for the playoffs. Like, I'm not expecting them to be perfect from here on out, but when you do really think about it from last year, you go back in the idea of, oh, wow, they did win 15 or 16 to end the season last year. Maybe they could do it again this year.
It could be easily fixable. And, Trey, you could probably talk to this more than anybody. And I just know from being around the game, it could be as easy as, who the hell do you guys think you are? That you really think you can come into an NBA arena and win a game without playing hard? Yeah. You're not that good. That, to me, is one of the most damning things. I think you and I talked about this before. One of the most damning things you can say as a coach, you can hear as a player. Mm-hmm. You're not as good as you think you are.
But you're going to need the crown jewel to be that person.
Yeah.
He has to be that person. And when he let those guys hang for those 8 games because he wanted to play an All-Star game, that hurt it. And if you're going to be the leader, you're going to have to be that person. He has to be that person because he's the one that everybody's going to be able to look up to, and he'll be the voice.
That's a great point.
Yeah, coming up, we'll give you an update on our Twitter poll. Who would you rather be if you had to switch places with one person right now, Joel Embiid or Rob Gronkowski? 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Coming up in a little bit, Lou Williams. I vaguely remember this story, but the details of which were incredible. Lou Williams, of course, former 76er, just became the NBA's all-time leading bench scorer. There was an incredible story that came out recently about Lou Williams that just blew me away. And it has to do with his time here in Philadelphia and experience he had on the streets. Time of the Fanatic, 7:12.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Farzetta and Trey in the morning. You ever been robbed?
Yes, at gunpoint.
At gunpoint.
Well, the guy didn't take the gun out of the bag, but I was working at a gas station.
Oh, okay.
Took it out. Yeah.
Said, sorry about that, Bob.
Yeah. I needed some cash.
Another Cooney family reunion.
Took all the money. I called my boss and said, dude, just got robbed. They're going to close it down. He says, no, just get exact change for a couple of hours and you should be good to go.
Oh, my gosh.
I said, no, I'm out.
Fight on, Bob.
Yeah. Oh, well. I wussed out, I guess. But anyway, yeah.
Had the car robbed, had like a house robbed, but never by person.
Yeah, car got broken into. Yeah, that's happened.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Pretty standard.
Yeah.
It was actually on my birthday in college. I'll never forget.
Oh.
Yeah, nothing was real. Actually, I had a last laugh on the robber because he smashed my window. And then he like reached his hand in, and I always keep a razor in the car, like a shaving razor, just in case. Oh, I missed a spot. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And he, I guess, reached in trying to grab just a handful of loose change and cut himself on the razor.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, all right, officer.
DNA.
Yeah, officer, we have the DNA. We can definitely set your track up. And it's like, yeah, we don't do that. Yeah,
he's like, he stole 73 cents,
yeah,
Mark.
Exactly. I'm like, but we have his DNA. Anyway, that's where my idiot brain went. But Lou Williams almost got robbed at gunpoint in Philadelphia. We'll let you hear the story coming up in a second here. We have a Twitter poll brought to you by Window Nation. What do we have, Sam?
This morning we asked, if you had to switch places with one right now, who would it be, Joel Embiid or Rob Gronkowski? We have just under 800 votes so far. 51% say Joel Embiid.
There we go. Yeah. The tides have turned. Thank you very much there, Sam. So I follow one of the many sports sites out there, House of Highlights, right?
It's it's a good one.
Great site to follow on the old IG, the old Gram, the old Insta, if you will. And they put out this story about Lou Williams, and I think this is the Clippers home broadcast team, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not sure. But they talked about this story. They set it up by Lou Williams, by talking about Lou Williams' ability to convince referees he was fouled. Right. And it's like, well, Lou Williams can be pretty convincing. Here's an example of it.
One of the stories that, about him, this was back when he was with the Sixers in 2011. He's driving his car in Philadelphia on Christmas Eve. He stopped at a light, and a gunman comes up to rob him, knocks on the window, ready to rob him. And Williams talked him out of it, and part of him talking him out of it was he told him who he was. And the gunman apparently said to him, yeah, you do a lot for this community, and decided not to hold him up. Williams then had him get in the car, and he took him to McDonald's and had a nice long chat with him about life.
Just took him out.
Yeah.
I don't know. He should have been a lawyer. Forget basketball. I know he's done fine for himself in the basketball world. That's incredible.
Yeah, he really downplayed, because I was covering the team when it happened, and you know, going to him and asking, he really downplayed it. Just like, yeah, it's just something that happened. You know. So it never became the big, big story that it could have, should have been.
Uh-huh.
But he's one of those guys. He's such a down-to-earth good dude. Like, he was one of my favorites covering the team.
I was always a big fan. I remember when he was Lewis Williams. That's what I remember. 610-632-0975. I've never been mugged, robbed, no situation like that. But, yeah, someone's broken into my car. But
well,
it's
you
never
come
been
from the hoity-toity neighborhood.
Yeah, right. I come
from, yeah. You and Jamie come from a lot of money.
Yeah, I've been in the city.
Yeah. He loves saying that, by the way.
Does he? Does he love saying that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't mind it.
I had a knife pulled on a friend once in college, like, and I stood in between it.
You paid the guy to pull the knife?
No, it wasn't a robbery.
Oh, okay.
But somebody pulled a knife on my friend, and I was in between my friend and that said guy, and that was scary.
And what'd you do?
I grabbed the guy's arm.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, and luckily there was people there to break it up. But yeah, that was intense.
Yeah, that is an intense moment. No thanks.
Yeah.
Let's get to Shannon in Georgia. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Shannon?
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my phone call again. That was pretty fast.
No, absolutely,
hey,
man.
You know, being down here in Atlanta, getting to see the Sixers is always a treat. First of all, I would say I don't think Cooney or Trey have been to the Phillips Arena, actually now State Farm, in a while, because that place is jumping now. It's one of the best places to watch a basketball game now since they remodeled in the NBA. But needless to say,
yeah, I haven't been there in a year and a half, but talking to people, although it's been remodeled, they say it's still like dull and people come late.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it's a little different now because normally I've been down here for several years. Normally it's only about 40% Sixers fans in there, but the other night it was maybe 15% because these young guys down here really have the city excited about the team. But anyway, needless to say, I wanted to say the glaring thing about that game two nights ago was the fact that the biggest mismatch on the floor was anybody on the Sixers trying to guard Trae Young. And that's a problem, in my opinion. You think you've got the all-stars there with Embiid and Simmons that they should dominate. There was nobody on the Sixers roster that could stay in front of Trae Young. Absolutely nobody. And that's why it was so obvious to me that last play, you know what they were going to do. You knew that they were going to spread everybody out, put the ball in Trae Young's hands, and let him take whoever tried to guard him off the dribble. And my question with that is the kid that the Sixers drafted, Zaire, that far from playing right now? Because obviously nobody on this roster can guard a quick point guard right now. That's going to be our Achilles heel. So, I mean, is there any way Zaire can get some playing time. I mean, because that's going to kill us with these guys.
No. The guy hasn't played. He hasn't. Well, he hasn't played in an NBA game in his life. He's a rookie, and if, with nine games to go, you're going to look to get something out of him for the playoffs.
He's trying to slow down one of these guys.
No, the roster you see is what you get. I know. I hear you.
I'm with you. I'm with you. Give him minutes. Make it happen. You're desperate.
I look at it. I don't know, man, because it's going to hurt us in the playoffs, man, because it's embarrassing to have that much talent, and yet this guy, who's a rookie himself, you know, can easily score at will against this team.
Yeah, Shannon, I'm with you. I would give him minutes, Bob. I'm not even kidding. Give him minutes. No. You talk about comparing this guy to Kawhi Leonard. I want him out there as fast as possible. You had the Markelle Fultz character come out and play for you last year.
Yeah, look how that turned out.
But he's not Markelle.
Okay, he's
only
a
one
rookie.
Markelle.
All right, no. Get over that. I know you're kidding around.
I'm not kidding around.
Yes, you are.
I swear to you, Bob, I want Zaire Smith to get some
minutes. He lost 35 pounds.
All right.
He's barely got his body back. He's a rookie. He's never played an NBA game. Mm-hmm. They say they're confused defensively, guys that have played 8-10 games together. Now you're going to throw in someone that's never played an NBA game? No.
Get out there.
Besides the fact he goes out there and gets blitzed.
Yes.
Where's his head coming in? No. You're not doing anybody any good
Could
by throwing in
worse?
A Zaire Smith.
Could it be worse, Bob?
Yes. They've won. Look, we're picking on this game because we don't like the aspects that came out defensively and all that stuff. You mentioned, would you say desperation or something?
No. Desperation.
No. It's not desperation. It's concerning.
The guard's blowing you away every single
time
you play a guard.
You can't seriously think that Zaire Smith is your answer.
No, I don't think he's my answer, but he could be.
I can't try
that. I'd rather have a guy that could be Kawhi Leonard, according to Brett Brown, play a couple of games to end the season, see at least what you have. This way he's not coming out next year completely green. He's got a couple of games under his belt. He knows what to go into the offseason and work on already.
No.
See, I never have a problem with that. And this is a big deal. I know people bring this up in every single sport. Would you bring a young guy in towards the end in a bad situation just to see what he has? And my answer every single time is yes. Let him see what he has to work on. It comes up in more so than any other sport. I think it comes up in baseball because you'll have that hot shot prospect, right? Whether or not you should bring him up for the end of a season and start that clock, and whether or not you think, oh, well, what's the big deal? Just give him a shot, see what he can do. Yeah. And if he has to start next season in the minors again, or if Zaire Smith needs to start next season on the bench, which he most likely will no matter what, at least let him know what he needs to work on going into the offseason. That way he's not coming out 100% green next year.
Yeah,
and if he's going to be a good defender, then he can only be an asset. Because guess what? He got nothing on that bet. What do I want to see more of? Do I want to see Zaire Smith get a little bit of a test run, or do I want to see more of James Ennis?
Look, I'm all about test runs for Zaire Smith when you're at game 50, 60, something like that. Not now. You're trimming down your rotation to get ready for the playoffs. You're not expanding it and experimenting and all that stuff. The core guys need to learn each other. And if it's true what they're saying, that defensive conversation isn't being had, that communication is bad, they need to work that out on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
So adding a new guy, I don't think, especially a rookie who's never played, who is still trying to get his body back after losing 35 pounds, he's just not the guy I think right now, Mark. That's all.
So what about free Shake Milton, you hater? Free Shake Milton.
I just saw Jimmer Fredette got signed. I think they should have looked into that if he doesn't stay somewhere.
Wait, he's leaving China?
Yeah, he signed with somebody in California.
He did sign.
Golden State?
Somebody. Sacramento?
The Kings?
It's a California team.
Hey, how'd you get here? Californians. All right, that's enough of that. But in all
four out of five.
I'm not saying that he should be starting. By
no, I hear you.
Just to come off the bench, see what he can give you.
Yes, it was Sacramento, by the way.
It was Sacramento.
Yes.
Now, when you said game 50, do you mean like the 12th game into the season?
If it was game 50 in the middle of the season,
gotcha, okay.
and he's where he is physically and all that stuff, and you think, looking down the line, I wonder if he could help us out. Then sure, yeah. But you can't do it now. It's just too late. It's too disruptive.
Do we know whether or not...
Sorry, sons.
What?
Jimmer Fredette's a son.
Daughters.
I already ordered my Jimmer Fredette Sacramento Kings jersey. Thanks, jerk. Now it's money just wasted.
I was way off.
Maybe he'll go there in the future. Maybe he'll be a journeyman. He already is. He was just in China, for good Lord's sake. 610-632-0975. I swear to you, I'm not hot taking you.
I really would love to see Zaire Smith on the floor but before the end of the season.
I think you are a little bit.
Not even a little bit.
A little bit higher.
You already saw Markelle Fultz come out. By the way, is Markelle going to be on the bench tomorrow?
I hope so.
I think he will.
Oh. Maybe hanging out, cheering.
I hope he's got some Mickey Mouse ears on.
What's wrong with you?
That was a shot. You just took a shot.
I'm sorry.
That's too far.
Come
on, man. He's a young man trying to make a career for himself.
Yeah, and young men like Mickey Mouse ears.
So up until March 19th, I'm just looking up. I have my old Sixers books. Zaire Smith had not played in the previous 5 G League games. So that was only like not even 10 days ago.
Okay.
Throw him into an NBA lineup and see what happens.
Yeah, what the hell?
Get out of here.
Oh, yeah. Trey, you're against it too?
Yeah, no.
You don't want to give a man a shot?
No.
You don't want to see what he's got?
No.
You don't want a little test run before the postseason?
No, not right now.
Come on now.
Not right now.
What about Shake, Bob?
Yeah, no. He's hurt anyway. Shake's hurt.
Is he?
Yeah, Shake got hurt. Shake might be out for the rest of the year, I think.
I think they're done, the Blue Coats.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't matter. He might be done.
So, yeah, they're all done for the rest of the year.
I'm appalled.
Not the Blue Coats I'm talking. I'm talking about him individually, James.
Give the young kid a chance. That's all I'm saying. Give the young kid a chance.
Yeah. No, he's got a...
What?
I don't know. He's hurt.
Graf.
He's got something.
Graf, what's up, buddy?
What's going on, guys?
Would you have Zaire Smith play?
Oh, my God, Graf, talk some sense into him, will you, please?
Mark, would you relax, dude? You're killing me.
What are you talking about? Man. What's the matter?
You're acting like it's the end of the world because they lost the Hawks. And, like...
No, it's not because they lost to the Hawks. It's because of the same problems over and over again, including against the Hawks.
Did you think that their butts demolished by the Mavs? Did you see Boston lose to the Charlotte Hornets and then wind up losing to the Spurs? Did you see the Raptors lose to the Hornets?
Yes.
Like, come on, man. Yeah. It happens, dude. They play bad games, whatever. Learn from it. It's probably a better learning experience than a win in some cases.
How many learning experiences do they get?
How many games did they play together, Mark? Like 8?
9 now, I believe.
9? All right, when they get to double digits, I'll start wearing it if they keep on losing teams like the Hawks. I don't know. I watched the game. I was like, yeah, it's a crummy loss, but hey, whatever. It happens. They just beat the Celtics. They're coming off of, 2 days rest? So, like, yeah, you know, it happens, Mark. And the whole Zaire Smith thing, dude, that kid's story is ridiculous. It is one of the most absurd things I've ever heard. He got a poppy seed stuck in his esophagus and lost 40 pounds. Is that what it was? Is that the story?
I don't know if it was a poppy seed.
It was an allergic reaction. He had some type of food allergy thing going on.
Yeah, it was poppy.
It was a poppy seed?
I believe.
I'm not putting that kid on an NBA floor until next year, man. Are you crazy, Mark? You're going to throw that kid out there for what? He's going to get hurt or something's going to happen to him. He hasn't played basketball.
Well, that is a pessimistic view. Why are you being so negative, Graf?
Mark, the other thing, too, is I thought I saw a... like an article that talked about Justin Patton, Zaire Smith, and Shake Milton are joining the team for the rest of the season. Is that true?
I thought Milton was injured. I think Bob also just said that.
I'm looking up right now what his deal is.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, would I mind seeing Zaire Smith? No. Do I think he's going to play? No. Do I think he should play? Not really. Mark, you gotta relax, buddy. Give the kid some time, man.
I do want to give him some time. I want to give him some minutes playing in the game just to see what he's got.
Mark, I don't know, dude. You lost 40 pounds. You'd probably be happy
about
it.
Then why is he even playing I'd be ecstatic, to be honest with you.
Yeah, 40 pounds would be amazing.
I don't want to make light of a serious health-threatening issue.
Not at all.
But exactly. Not for nothing, but...
I can stand to give up 40, 50
somebody
pounds.
Go get me a bagel. You know what I'm saying? Like a poppy seed that's riddled with poppy seed.
Mark, the world's not over, and, you know, Zaire Smith, it'll be fun to watch him play when he does play. He'll probably play, like, the last couple of games, but I don't think he's a necessity at this point in time. I am kind of worried about TJ, though, because Trae Young demolished my man.
Yeah.
And that is that was not good looking. So I hope they find something in the draft or something somewhere. We need a backup point because TJ just can't carry the load anymore, man. And
Boban
needs... We need something other than Bolden and Boban. I would almost be tempted to see if we can find ourselves a little diamond in the rough in the draft and see if we can get a backup center, but we'll see. Yeah. I don't know.
How about Bobby hitting a 3? Hey, you want to be optimistic? Awesome. How about that?
they called that, though, right? I didn't tell Toby and Jimmy Butler were talking about the fact he's probably going to drain a corner three at some point in time. You know what that means, though? That means Ben Simmons is coming.
Well, here's the interesting thing. Here's it. And Graf, thanks for the call. Here's the interesting thing, and they talked about this on the broadcast Saturday night. Apparently, there was a situation against the Celtics where Bobby was open for a three, and Jimmy Butler drove and didn't dish it out to Bobby. So apparently, Toby and Bobby said something to Jimmy Butler about, "Yo, you know, our man's open, man. You gotta give him the rock."
Really?
And Jimmy was like, "Okay, man. You know, next time, whatever." So sure enough, this game against the Hawks, first quarter, Jimmy's in there, Bobby's open in the corner, bada boop, bada beep, three. First one in Bobby's career.
And no reaction from him at all. Just
no,
jog just, down the floor like he does it every time.
Just no problem. Yeah, do this in Serbia.
What I do.
Wow. Do this in Serbia for
so
years.
So Toby and Bobby roll up on you like, hey, man. Hey, dude, for real.
Yeah,
hey, when I'm open.
Right.
And I'm behind that damn arc.
Right.
I need you to pass me the damn ball.
Yeah, Toby probably got in Jimmy Butler's face.
Yeah.
And Bobby is probably just standing behind him with, like, his arms crossed.
Yeah.
Like, all thug, right? Like, yeah. All, like, gangster,
yeah,
right?
Real gangster.
And it was just like, he was just like, yo, man, you pass my man the ball. When he's open in the corner,
pass him the damn
Bobby
ball.
Bobby the rock.
Damn right.
Jimmy Butler's like, okay, sir, whatever you say.
That's my friend.
That's my friend.
And sure enough, that was a great reaction to it. And I thought also made a great call on it as well, because he says to Mark Zumoff, he's like, you know, you may be excited and surprised, but Bobby's acting like, been there, done that. 610-632-0975. Look, overall, the most frustrating part of this game, usually you could say it's turnovers, usually it's sloppy play, whatever. But a lot of the things went in this game where you were just answering their turnovers with your own turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the end of the world? Absolutely not. Right. Are they going to lose games? No, they're not going to go undefeated towards the end of the season again, all that. But this was a game that they should have won against a lesser opponent. It wasn't like they were playing on back-to-back nights or anything like that. Sure, they're coming off an emotional win. But hearing guys like Brett Brown and Tobias Harris and Jimmy Butler and Ben Simmons all talk about the same thing, how odd this game was and how the energy wasn't there and how there was laziness on the Sixers' behalf here, on the Sixers' part of things, and Jimmy Butler saying that this team should know it's not good enough to just show up and win.
Mm-hmm.
That's alarming to me when the goal is to beat the Raptors, the goal is to beat the Bucks, the goal is to beat the Celtics consistently, and now, if the season ended, although it's a half-game difference here, the season ends, you know who you play? You play a team in the Nets that you don't match up necessarily good against.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with their guard play, they've been giving the Sixers fits all season, Bob.
Yeah, but they haven't played this Sixers team. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And you're right. And
they're still struggling against guards.
They are. Their defense is not, you know, doing real well right now. And I just had a text from a friend, you know, saying the same thing. Relax. Boston just lost a couple. Golden State lost by 30. I understand that, and that does happen in the NBA. There's no question about it.
Especially when it's a young team that is gunning for you.
Right.
As an elite team.
But I think the things that we're nitpicking at are the overriding concerns, and they were exploited again the other night against a team it shouldn't get exploited against.
The players said it themselves. The coach said it themselves. It's not us.
Right.
They're saying this.
Yes.
We're just reiterating
it. I'm not being negative. I'm just telling you why they're negative. How about that, Graf?
I really think that when Embiid or either Ben, when they step up and they become that vocal leader of that guy that's in that locker room, that's when you'll start to see this team like not have those letdowns. Jimmy Butler is just coming into the locker room, so he has to figure everything out. Next year, Jimmy Butler will be more of a voice to these guys.
Yeah,
but you need those guys. That's what made Dalt a leader. He was homegrown. Yeah, you know, and there's something to be said about being that homegrown, someone that's in the locker room that's come up in it, and they become that leader, that vocal person, that one that when things are down, that they clap it up and get everybody up. And you need to have one of those guys to step up and be that player.
From what I hear, ever since Jimmy got here, he is the elder statesman of the locker room. Like the younger guys do look up to him. They look for him for answers. But I agree with you.
Yeah.
It's going to eventually have to be the Ben Simmons, the Joel Embiid that take over this whole team.
610-632-0975. Coming up, we'll tell you about the Fanatic deal of the week, and at the top of the hour, for the first time this baseball season, Phillies, guess what? They have one more Grapefruit League game left. And then after that, Trey, you know what
it's
is?
The real deal.
It's the real deal. It's opening day in South Philadelphia. We'll be down there. We'll be having ourselves a good old time. Mm-hmm. We'll be enjoying ourselves. I can't wait to get down there. Can't wait for the season to open up.
It's baseball season, boys.
610-632-0975. We got Dan, Joe, Harvey, then you. 610-632-0975. Time to the Fanatic 741.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Welcome back, everybody, for Zeta and Trey in the morning. We got Jason Stark joining us in about 9 minutes. But I have to say, Trey, I'm looking forward to the weekend. Mm-hmm. Already, it's Monday. And Saturday, we got a little show get-together at the Cooney residence.
Yeah, man.
What can I bring, Bob?
Yourself would be good, and Celeste, that'll be awesome. Other than that, we should be good.
No, I got to bring something. Come on.
Well, you can.
I'm not going to walk into Donna's house. And I empty-handed. I know the rules.
That's on
cannoli.
You. Cannoli's always a good
cannoli's
thing.
Cannoli's
always a fine thing.
I was thinking about hitting up the Italian market for some pastries.
Oh, yeah? I called dibs on cannoli.
We'll coordinate.
Okay, I got cannoli.
I definitely am going to bring some wine.
What are you going to wear?
Oh, yeah, definitely going to bring some wine. Yeah. I got to bring some wine.
Two or three bottles.
Yeah. Do not feel obligated. There's plenty of wine and booze and stuff there.
We all show up in Fanatic golf shirts.
Matching Fanatic golf
shirts. We give away things. I don't have one either.
And I see, like, McMonagle and Coach and all those guys walking around with Under Armour, nice golf, 97.5. Nothing for the morning show.
They flaunt it.
That's all my God stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't care. Bring it back.
I've never gotten anything.
Trey, you should paint something for Donna.
painting of yourself.
Yes.
I'll work on a painting.
Self-portrait.
One of your
no nudes, please.
One of your 78 self-portraits.
Yeah.
Just give to Donna.
I have a couple. I work on a painting for her.
There you go.
Yeah.
No, we all know. By the way, I was at ISGRO the other day, like a couple, maybe 2 weeks ago. And I was in there. I was getting Zeppelis for my. It was St. Joe's Day, so we're going. We had my cousins and I had a little thing, and I go over there. And I was in there, and a guy comes in and got one cannoli. Guy walks in.
I mean, I guess if it's an on-the-go cannoli, I respect that.
But like, I've done that,
but get five.
Yeah, what's the matter with you? You get one cannoli. What kind of sick maniac do you have to be in life? To where you walk into a beautiful Italian pastry shop and a bakery, and they go, "One cannoli, please. I have seven more people I need to murder. I don't have time to have more."
No,
what's the matter with you?
It's a case where you have a hankering for a cannoli, but you know you shouldn't get too many because then you'll just down them and you'll feel bad about yourself. So it's almost like a little treat, Mark. That's all. Because I have a local place that has wonderful cannolis. Uh-huh. I go in every once in a while and be like, "Ooh, I'll have one, please." And then you just enjoy it in the car and you go about your day.
I turned to the guy because I got like eight Zeppelin, like St. Joe's cakes, right? And I got, a couple other things, some cookies, you know. And this guy, "Could I have one cannoli?"
And he just wanted one.
Like,
man.
The place stopped. Like, music stopped. People stopped talking. A record player that didn't exist screeched, right? And it was like, I turned to him, I go, "Dude, I got to say, I admire your restraint." And he's like, "Oh, well, I live around the corner, so I can stop by anytime." And I was just like, even that place that you live near, whatever, that you think you're going to, like, if you, like, for instance, when my wife and I started dating, right? I took her to this one place, and she was like, "Oh, if I lived around the corner from here, I'd be 500 pounds, whatever." Guess what? We eventually lived around the corner from that place. We went there like once a year for really the 5 years
we lived in this place. I live a half block from Federal Donuts. Do you know what that daily struggle is like? The fried chicken sandwich smell, the donut smell, smell. When I walk the dog, I walk right past it. It's tough.
Hmm. If I live next to this place, I'd be 500 pounds. Now we do. And she literally does not. She refuses. I would go eat there every day just because I'm not particular.
You
but
Italians
whatever.
Have so many eating rules. It's
ridiculous. No. I don't have any eating rules.
All right, come on over and taste my meatballs.
All right, now that's personal. You don't.
How's that personal?
That's the one thing. Okay. That's one thing that we will hold sacred.
I'm serving meatballs on. That's it. That's all I'm serving.
Then
on
I'm bringing brajol then. Forget it. I'm not eating your meatballs. Not for nothing.
Okay, that's not weird.
That's the one thing. That's right? Just one thing. I can't explain it.
I've heard this thing.
Like, what, if it's somebody else's family's thing, you don't go there.
So weird.
You got legitimately upset that a guy bought one cannoli.
That's weird.
That's
weird to buy one canola.
Yeah, one canola is kind of weird.
Actually, it's one canolo.
If
we're being particular.
Okay.
E is plural, huh?
The I at the end is usually plural. Okay.
It's like going and buying one can of beer.
Yes, exactly.
It's a 40.
Well,
in a bag.
If it's a pounder. Yeah. If it's a pounder, then we expected you have a nice little Saturday plan for yourself. And keep it in the paper bag. Exactly. Bob knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Bob, looking forward to Saturday, and I promise I'll bring more than one canolo to the
bring
to the
one
party.
And just chop it up.
Exactly. Let's get Joe up here. Joe, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Joe?
Hey, guys, don't be an elitist now. You know, that guy might not have a lot of money.
That's true.
That's true.
Oh, yeah, good. That's another great
here
point.
You know what, Joe? Should've. You're right. I feel like a jerk now.
Yeah, man.
Here he is. I should have been like, bro, I'll buy you 5 more cannoli.
Just take them.
Just so I don't think of you as a psychopath, I will buy you cannolis.
All right. So here's my problem with the last 2 seconds.
All right.
Your best defender against a guy like Trae Young is T.J. McConnell. So I'm looking when he comes out and he has Ennis in there. I'm like, why? I said, the only person that's going to wear Young is McConnell. So, of course, he hits the shot. But now, against the Nets, he'll play McConnell so many minutes. And McConnell can't play Russell. Okay? So, like, I went up there. I went to the Brooklyn game last year, and I watched how Russell just killed us. Okay? But my point is, his matchups. Now Ennis should play against Russell because maybe he's a bigger guard. I don't care he's a forward or whatever, but he's going to abuse a guy like TJ. TJ should play a lot of minutes against Rozier, against TJ Young, against the guy on Charlotte. I mean, those are the guys that he plays, and he really does a good job on them, you know? He really does. He neutralizes those guys. They're going to score a lot of points, but he gives them fits. But against these bigger guards, it's just not possible, okay? So that, you know, 2 seconds, just use your head there in that 2 seconds. And Atkinson makes a fool out of him when they're playing against each other. So he scares me in that matchup. So I'm literally going to bet the Nets and to compensate my misery if they lose because in that series. Well, I'm serious.
Okay, hold on. Let's respond to that, though. Are you looking at TJ McConnell as if he's a good defensive matchup?
Against certain guys, he is. Against TJ, against Young last week, he would have been a better matchup in that last 2 seconds than Ennis. Okay?
I think you look to smother him more than you look to, like, trade quickness.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, man, but I...
I love TJ, but he can't get tons of minutes as a defensive stopper.
I feel as if I am one of the most optimistic people in the world when it comes to TJ McConnell. But I'm very much aware of his restraints. Like, I'm very much aware of what, you know, where his ceiling is. I thought Brett Brown called the perfect two final, made the final two good decisions. He had Jimmy Butler try to get ISO to win the game for you with the tie game, and they couldn't even get a shot off, which was ridiculous. And then he had Jimmy Butler on the guy you knew was going to get the ball in Trae Young. You have a 4-time defensive player, all defensive team player, D-ing up a rookie. The rookie took him to school. It's as simple as that. There's no other matchup you'd rather have on the court. I'm not putting TJ McConnell there, certainly.
Butler got on his hip like way too early. Instead of just staying in front of him, he got on his hip. It was almost like he expected Young was going to take a dribble and pull up, and he wanted to be right there with him. So then when he went for the extra dribble, he kind of got like a little flat-footed, and Young got him on his hip, and he got that was a free floater. Why aren't you running a double at him?
Yeah.
Like it doesn't even have to be a below guy. But it should have been. Joel Embiid should have been 3 more.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.